So good to be gathered here on the eve of a new year. A little bit different service we'll have here in a moment. I'm excited about what we're about to do. A couple of things I want to remind us of. Number one, if you want to plug into fellowship, then the place to begin that process is go to the website, connectedfellowship.com, or talk to someone in the room. We always say this week by week because it really matters. You're walking with a community of faith, and we'd love to help you do that. Two other things. You know, we're finishing up, coming toward the end of our global Christmas. I want you to know we're still just north of halfway, and a lot, you know, people continue to give into the new year. So just a reminder, pray about that, how you might want to participate. We get to that $1 million goal as everyone does something. That's what Less Under a Tree, More About the World reminds us of. And then also a thank you for your generosity through the year and in your year-end giving to fellowship. As most churches, a number of, you know, our budget runs on a lot of our budget's carried through our giving at the end of the year. And so thank you for your consideration on that and your faithfulness throughout the year. Anybody remember this motivational speaker named Charlie Tremendous Jones? A few of you, yes, I would know a business person reader would. 70s and 80s, he kind of pioneered a lot of the motivational speaking and, you know, development. How could you not do it if your middle name was Tremendous, right? But he got that because when everyone would talk to him, he would say, Tremendous. You know, they'd say, I just did this, Tremendous, you know. But like many, he, you know, in that space, a lot of times it's one statement they make that kind of defines them, kind of carries their work, you know, even for decades. No different with Charlie Tremendous Jones when he said this. And I've heard known this quote for years, and some of you, it may come to you and you go, I didn't know that he's the one that said that. Well, he did. He said, and I quote, you will be the same person in 5 years as you are today, except for the people you meet and the books you read, end quote. There's just a lot good in that. It's true. And you think about, we are shaped by the people we meet. I mean, they shape us. The books that we read, probably more than the movies you watch, you know, or something you stream. You're shaped by the books that you read. But I want to suggest there's something more, and what I've read of Charlie Tremendous Jones, he would agree with what I'm about to say, that there is something that far outweighs the people you meet and the books you read. Something that, I will use this word, transforms your heart, your insides, that core of who you are in ways that people and books don't. It'll shape how you live, what you live for. We find it throughout the scripture. It's not gonna surprise you when I say this. It's probably illustrated, I think one of the best places it's illustrated in the scripture is the story of Solomon. You guys familiar with this story? And even kids, I'm so glad you're in the room, because what we're going toward and what I'm talking about now, it applies to you, and you're actually gonna do something that all of us in the room are gonna do related to this. David was king for 40 years, and when he passed, God anointed Solomon to be the king in his place. Solomon was just 20 when he became king. And you can imagine, I'm reading into this, but at 20, the insecurities, the inexperience he had to now rule after King David. And God came to Solomon in a dream. And he said this, ask what I shall give you. That was it. God said, ask what I will give you. Open-ended. Y'all, if the wealthiest people in the world, the most powerful leaders in all the world sat down in a room with you and looked at you and said, what can we do for you? They couldn't do what God could do for you were God to ask you that question. And I want to say to you, he has. He asks it every day. Jesus, Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Now that's not like, well, I actually prayed that I would have won that $1.2 billion mega deal that just went down. No, it's not that, because you know, when he says that, it's within the context of the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, just a few verses earlier, 6:33, he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things. It's within this frame, there's guardrails on what we ask according to his will. But make no bones about it, y'all. He really does say to you, ask what I shall give to you. Solomon said this, give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? And Solomon became the wisest man who ever lived. So a year from now, may I say it this way, yes, the people you meet and the books you read, they're gonna shape you, but nothing like what you pray. What you pray. And so we felt like at the beginning of this new year, it would be good for us to literally articulate a prayer. And so here's what we're gonna do in these instances. It's not gonna take us long, okay, this morning, but we're all gonna do it. Adults, kids, everyone does this. Mom and dad, you need to help your kids with it some, but we're all gonna do this. Some volunteers are gonna help me here. We're gonna give you a prayer card. And we've designed this. Don't start filling it out. There are pens in the back of the chairs in front of you, around you. A lot of you have a pen. If you don't have a pen, just let us help you find one. We can bring some to you. But you're gonna get a card, okay? And so everyone's gonna get a card. We're gonna pass these out. Everyone take one. Mom and dad, take one for the younger kids. You're gonna help them fill this out. We're all gonna be writing something on this card as these go around. I'm gonna walk us through how we're gonna do this. And so I'm gonna put up on the screen as these are coming around. Again, everybody get one, grab a few if you need them. The first side of this is just simply an address side. And so I'm actually holding the card I filled out this morning. You're just gonna put your name and your address. That's all you're gonna do. Now, here's what I want you to know, mom and dad and kids, like I'm looking at you, you fill out your own address. So everyone, you know what I'm saying? Everyone, mom and dad, that might have to the younger kids fill the address out, but put their name and your home address, okay? Every person does that. That's where we're gonna start. I'm gonna let you get these passed around. Everybody get what you need. And then I'm gonna walk you through how we're gonna articulate these prayer requests. As these are going around, can I say this? I know that, you know, this is a different Sunday morning and you're thinking, well, I thought we're gonna come in and we're gonna sing and then we're gonna hear a message. I wanna hear the Bible taught. Well, let me tell you something. What we're getting ready to do, and if you'll participate in this, and I mean this, will change you in 2025 more profoundly than if I did our 32-minute message. I mean that. And if it was the best message I ever did, I don't even know what that would sound like, but if it was, this will change you more. What you pray. How you pray. So I've actually been super excited about this, because what God will do in us and through us as we pray these prayers shape our community of faith profoundly. I mean that. I'm not trying to oversell or over-exaggerate. Now, everybody's got one. Everybody fill out your address so you know where this is going, because I'm gonna collect these. These are gonna come back to you sometime in 2025. So now here's what we're gonna do. Go to the other side and you're gonna see three boxes. Just so we're super clear, the right-hand tall rectangular box, leave it blank. Don't be writing in that box, okay? Just on the left side where the questions, where the statements are, that's the only place you're gonna write. I'm gonna help you with some prompts. I'm gonna give you my request. Don't overthink it. See, the Holy Spirit's at work, has been at work before you ever started, got this card in your hand. And whatever comes to your mind, just trust you're gonna write that. It's not the only prayer request you have all year, but this is the one you're gonna put in there now. So we always, you know, the Christian life is about coming to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, putting your faith in him. And then you understand that from the moment you trust Christ to the moment you die, or he returns, you're still on the planet because he wants you to become more like Jesus. So there's an internal transformation that happens, a character change, you all, where you become more like Christ. And so that's what that first box is, what I pray God will do in me, okay, in me. But what God does in us always extends beyond us. So that's the second box. We're saying what I pray God will do through me. So God, Christ is shaped in me, but it's not just for me. You become more like Jesus that you might, this is the weird way to say it, make the world a better place. No, it's more, so much more than that. It's make Christ known in the world by the way you live, what you say and what you do. So here are the guardrails I'll give you. Now, you don't have to do this, but just look up at the screen. I've just said, you know what? If we want to think about becoming more like Christ, there's no better place to go than the fruit of the Spirit. This is what it looks like to become more like Christ in you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And you might start your phrase, make me more, deepen in me, enable me to experience, cultivate in me. Inward transformation, you might think along Solomon's words, wisdom, insight, clarity, understanding, discernment. These are just prompts. These are just helps. You can write whatever the Lord puts on your heart here, but it's that inward shaping. And then on the right-hand side, it's the same thing. How does that go out of me? How does patience get expressed through me? What's God's, think about God's kingdom. Okay, I'm representing God's kingdom. So in 2025, I pray it'll look like I'll influence the world in this way. Christ in me will shape others. How might your life look in 25? How might your life in 2025 reveal Christ's heart to others? I threw Micah 6:8 in there. It's what a wonderful summary of what it looks like to be Christ-like in the world. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. These are just helps. Everybody with me? These are just helps. One last help, and then you're gonna, I really pray you'll do this and you'll write a statement in these. Here's mine. You know, I tend to be an anxious person. And I was thinking about this and I've thought about it for a few days. Y'all have 2 minutes to think about it. but this is the way it works. The Spirit will speak. Mine was this, what I pray God will do in me. And so I just wrote in this little box, deepen peace in my heart. That's what I wrote in my, I pray God in 21, will deepen peace in my heart. You know, I'll become more of a non-anxious presence, as many say, you know. And then I said, well, okay, how does that go out of me? What I pray God will do through me. Here's what I wrote for me. May the peace God deepens in me encourage and invite others to trust Christ more. That's Lloyd's 2025 prayer. Yours is unique to you. So take a moment right now and write if you just wrote a word, we'll be praying that word, but write a word, a phrase, a statement. Take a moment and do that. Parents, you can help your kids. You know, kids, you might be thinking about, what is it that mom and dad talk to me about a lot? Like, you know, they're helping me grow up. What do they talk to you about growing and becoming more like? You think that way? Think about relationships. What needs to change in my heart that Christ would be more evident in relationships in my life? Anybody have a question? Need anything that I can help you with? Right when I said that, a couple guys put their arms around somebody, and I thought, well, there's a couple questions going out. You know, you got to raise your hand now. See, you're going to pray this prayer. So please know this is the prayer you'll pray, but then I'm going to collect these because we have people who pray in this body regularly, and we're going to be praying this prayer for you. And you understand when Solomon prayed the prayer, he was never the same after that. I love the way that Lindsay said it because she read from Hebrews about we can come before the throne of grace with confidence. Indeed, Jesus said this. Remember, we just finished, you know, earlier in the fall, 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. So with that, okay, here's what I'd like you to do. And I'm gonna collect these. So I'm gonna ask you to just pass them to the aisle. Now do this. If you're on these outside aisles, pass toward the middle of the room so that we can just go down this aisle and we're just gonna let them go in a basket. If you're in the middle, pass to either side, doesn't matter, but just get it to the aisle. If you're in this middle section, go either way, but that row's gonna have them, and you know, the end of that row's gonna have them. Just pass them in. If you know, I get it, someone's gonna walk out and go, I just couldn't finish it. That's fine. Would you, you know, sometime here when the office opens after the new year, would you bring that to the office that we could pray for you? If you're online, and I know a lot of people are online, a lot of people, you know, out traveling or unable to come, come by the office when it opens. We'll have cards available at the desk. Fill one out and just leave it there at the front desk so that we can be praying for you. I really mean it when I say this, y'all. God's gonna answer these prayers. And we're gonna be different in deep ways, in ways aligned with the Spirit of God, Christ in us. Here we go. We're getting them picked up. Yeah. Thanks, Amy. Oh, down here in the front, down the front. Get one more. There's some coming this way. All good. Just raise your hand if I didn't get them. Listen, if afterwards, I had a bunch of people come up to me after the service and say, I was still working on it. Just give it to me. So, you know, bring it up after when we end here in a moment. Honey, is there a communion thing right there you could give me? No, communion. Thanks. So our great and abiding confidence has been in front of us for 5 weeks. It's the table. Because when I say the table, what are we saying? We're talking, it's the person and work of Jesus. And so I invite you to take the Lord's table elements. If you'd grab those, please. Go ahead and take the top off so that you have the bread in one hand and the cup in one hand. When you get those open, go ahead and stand if you would. Let's hold the bread and the cup in each hand. I love that this table's been with us for 5 weeks now, ever since Thanksgiving. Intentional because it reminds us, even as we lit these Advent candles, that it is Christ that is the center of all. When we come to this table, we're coming to his finished work, his person. The bread, a reminder that his body was broken. The blood, a reminder his life was poured out. Lord Jesus, here on the eve of 2025, thank you that we've been away from the table in the sense of we've not taken it, and it has stirred in us a longing for it, which is what Advent is all about. So now we come remembering that your body was broken for us as you endured the suffering that sin brings. And taking this bread, we remember that and we say thank you. Receive the bread. And in this cup, we are reminded that your blood was poured out. Paul reminds us, and we've been speaking of this through Advent, Father, that it's not just we prepared for the first coming, but every time we come to this table, Paul says, we're actually proclaiming your second coming, that you're coming back, you're coming again. And when you do, you set all things right. Thank you for securing our life by your death, Lord Jesus. We say thank you, receive the cup. Lord, standing here as we are at the end of 2024, we look back and we see the weariness of a broken world, and we see the light of the gospel that broke through that darkness. There was pain and loss in that year that we look back on, and there was joy and gifts of grace. We look back on unmet longings, but we also look back on desires deep within us fulfilled in Christ. And it seems always in ways we did not expect, but we trust come from your good hand. We stand as well and look forward to the year in front of us. And when we do, there's much in that year that makes us anxious. And there are things that we anticipate and so look forward to. What we declare together this morning is that while all things change, your faithfulness, your steadfast love, your mercy and grace are constant, indeed eternal. God, our hearts remain full of gratitude, looking back and looking forward. For you are always worthy of our praise, our hallelujah. For Christ has come. O Christ, you will come again. In this we rejoice. Amen.